Hey guys, Travis Fulton here. Today's episode of the Stripe Show podcast is presented to you by About Golf Simulators. Enjoy the show. And we're back, Stripe Show podcast, on a Thursday, which means we are rolling into some instruction. Welcome into the studio. This is going to be a good one here, as we had to bring back one of our favorite guests. Short game is popular here on the Stripe Show podcast, and there's a handful of guys that are really getting it done on an elite level. Not only short game in this particular example that we're going to talk about today, because he works on the full swing as well. He joins us from Los Angeles, California. James O, how you doing, bud?
Good, Travis. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. I know you're busy. I know you work with a lot of LPGA Tour players. That's getting going. I know you are helping a lot of PGA Tour players, but there's one student in particularly, okay, that has really captured my mind, and I'm very intrigued because we're seeing some terrific golf. And as I've researched it, and I've went back and I've looked at him over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, it wasn't always this level of play. And of course, you know who I'm talking about, Ben Griffin, who tees off this afternoon at the Valero Texas Open. He is playing outstanding golf this season. You've been his coach for the last 4 to 5 years. I want you to take us back to when you guys first started, because as I understand, and tell me if I'm wrong, but Ben was at a tough spot and was thinking about maybe putting it away.
Sure. Yeah. He was grinding. We're working a lot. We met in Vegas at a PGA Tour event. He was trying to Monday. He didn't get in, and we had dinner. And a month or two later, he called me. He says, "Hey, I need, I'm looking for some serious help, like a actual coach that'll stick with me." I said, "You know what? We met. He's a great kid. We started working together. And he grinds. He's always grinded, but you know, he just never got over that hump. And one day he calls me and he says, "Hey, I got something to tell you." And I think it was hard for him to say, "I think I'm putting it away. Out of money, and I'm struggling with my game, and it's not really panning out." And I said, "Hey, look, I respect you for all the hard work you've put in, and like all great players, sometimes you just need to really take a break."
Yeah.
And you don't know if that's 3 months or 3 years.
Yeah.
But if it's meant to be, you come back, and here we are today.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing because that story happens a fair amount, and more than I think what my audience and people realize is that there's a lot of terrific players like Ben Griffin and others that, you know, obviously have the talent to get out there. They just, you know, for whatever reason, haven't been able to put it together. And it gets to a point where, you know, they run out of money, and they just frankly get beat down by this game. And they just feel like, look, it's time to throw it in. But he didn't. And he met you, and you guys went to work, and you've seen steady progression here. I was looking at his stats, and you have to be very impressed, I think, with what he's been doing, in particularly in the short game. I tell people on the podcast all the time, I said, you know, Ben Griffin's probably the most underrated short game player on the PGA Tour. He doesn't get his props for what this dude can do around the greens. We're going to get to a short game shots here in a second. Mm-hmm. But I want to start. All right, we're going to have some fun here. I want to start with this, the full swing. And this footage that you sent me, how long ago was this? Tell me where this is.
Oh, this is this week.
This is this week.
This is at the Valero.
Wow.
Yeah, this is early this week. You know, we work on the same things in his golf swing for the past, gosh, 2 years, 3 years. I mean, we set a plan of where we're going. We make small changes, and we constantly monitor it and grind on it. And it's a work in progress. And everyone on tour is the same. Whether your swing looks perfect or it doesn't, you guys are always, everyone's working on, you know, the basic fundamentals and where they want to be. And they have a much bigger picture, unlike amateurs. You know, yeah. They want to fix everything right now. And we're looking 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line of, and if we compare that swing to, I wish I had a swing of what it looked like, you know.
I think I have an idea, but I'll let you explain to the audience here when we look at this swing right here.
Sure.
Tell me like the one or two things that you guys are always monitoring, or maybe it's more than that. Give us some insight on the specifics.
So his swing is much more fluid. It used to be a lot shorter and jerkier, and he's hitting the ball so much farther now because of the freedom, and he allows the club to swing a little bit more. His body rotates great. When he wasn't playing great, the backswing was really short and mm-hmm. really steep, and he's getting right on top of the ball and not hitting it very far and getting on top of the ball too much. So he likes working the ball both ways. And when he gets in trouble, he has a hard time turning the ball over. It's always been too much on top, and
okay.
And he can't get his, he has a tough time getting depth in his hands. So it's what his eyes see and over the ball. Can he picture the shot? Can he hit that draw? And when he's hitting a 3-4 iron, 5 iron, and he's able to hit a high draw, then it's going to be a good week.
Yeah. So you talked about depth. So depth, when you look at this, is the ability for the audience here, because I just talked about depth with Sam Burns, who of course won last week.
Sure.
I'm friends with his coach, Brad Poland.
Yeah.
And that's something that they talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to hit a fade where
yep.
here in Ben's case, he likes to hit a draw. But nonetheless, depth, when you look at this swing for those watching here, is that lead arm getting behind him more, getting
yes.
feet behind yes. and not so upright.
Yes.
And with that depth, I want to ask you, because you said you lengthened out the backswing. How did you do that? Was it more of a recruitment of in the hips, the shoulders, the spine? What was it that got it more fluid and maybe a little longer in the backswing, which allowed for some more depth?
So it was a combination of a few things. He was working with his coach, Randy Myers, on his body getting more flexible. And I think a player, when you're pretty fit and you have the ability physically, you get afraid of getting your arms and your club back there because you're afraid of where the ball is going to go. So we took very small steps. I think any tour player, if you say make a bigger backswing, they can. And it says, and if you tell them, you know, make a bigger backswing at the Honda Classic water left, that's a little bit harder to do. So and I think a lot of amateurs forget that part. It's mm-hmm. like, hey, we still need to play golf. You need to be able to do this while you're a little bit afraid or under pressure. So just taking the appropriate time. Like I don't rush to things.
Yeah.
You know, I can recognize a great player and I let them play. And if they want to do too much, I stop them.
So, yeah.
No, we're in the next 2 months, we're not going to completely revamp your swing. We're going to do it in the next 4 seasons.
Yep.
And this is how.
Yep.
But one of the things is when we started to get a bigger backswing, he would get the club head too far inside right off the start. So we make sure the club head stays outside of his hands a little bit longer in the start.
Right, that first move here where that club head. You know, it's funny, I saw some of the old videos and you could see the club head dipping in, and almost like it almost looks like as he's lengthened the swing out, like the first move, the club head is definitely like more out in front of him early. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then as he lengthens it, like the face doesn't look as shut either now. Like some of his older stuff looked like it
really
was a little
shut.
More shut and short.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And then hence on top of it, and he
yes.
Yeah.
So I mean you can only hit one shot from there,
right.
Or one shot consistently. And it's if you break down his swing, I mean you can have as many opinions as you want. He goes, well, it still looks this way or that way. But to us, to our team, it's like, oh yeah, we're moving in the right direction. That looks way better than, you know, 6 months ago. That looks way better than a year ago. And if we keep going in this direction in the next 6 months or a year, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun to watch.
You know, this is such a good topic, and I want to demonstrate here for a second, because, and we're going to get to some short game in a second, and the stuff in the short game is just fabulous, and some of the things that we're going to talk about there, and I've got a couple questions for you on how maybe some of the stuff in the full swing might be the same or different in the short game, but we'll get to that in a second. But you talked about this lengthening out of the backswing, and mm-hmm. most tour players are able to do that. I just had a young player in here, really good amateur player before this, probably a plus one, plus two, hasn't played a whole lot though in the last year, and has lost a little range of motion, some back pain, and you can see his swing has gotten shorter.
Yes.
Right? And as a result, as he's gotten shorter, you can see him. It's so funny that you're saying this, because I literally, in many ways, just had this conversation where he would turn and his left shoulder would kind of fall short. Like it wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't really get behind it.
Sure.
You know, he was really kind of on top, kind of staying there and very conservative. And you could tell, like, trying to control it. And so we talked about, look, we got to get you a little more behind that address. And we've got to start freeing some things up. Like we're too rigid downstairs. We've got to, you know, let the right hip turn some, let the spine open up a little bit, and don't be so stagnant in the lower, and then say kind of flex down in the upper, where you kind of get this look. And I call it the old man swing, where it's, you know, we're kind of getting to, we go down this path where the leg, you know, the lower body is just like in quicksand. The spine just hangs out in flexion, and then pretty soon, where do we just look like, you know, we just look like this.
Sure, sure.
And so it's like, look, let's lengthen out. Let's get the hip moving. Let's let the left knee travel across.
Right.
Let's let the spine open up. And all of a sudden he's like, damn, like, yeah, that looks really good. Now his word to me was, I feel a little out of control.
Yes.
But he sat here and just, he's finding it. You know, it's like, you just got to break through that internal governor. So I'll finish with this, and I want you to react to this. I find myself lengthening out more players than I do shortening them up.
Absolutely. from all ages and all skill levels. I think as we do anything, whether you're a professional golfer or a junior golfer or in a middle to older age, later age amateur golfer, everyone gets short for a reason. Mm-hmm. I think professional golfers get short when they get tight. I think amateur golfers get short because of physical limitations.
Yep.
I think junior golfers get short because they're not supposed to take a long backswing. I mean, I teach my junior golfers, we'll shorten it later. I want you to wail at the ball.
Lengthen it out.
So, yeah. I mean, if you're jumping off the ground, great. Mm-hmm.
It's so true. It really is.
Yes. Yes.
Let me ask you this before we move to the short game. Did you kind of, you know, as you were kind of getting him lengthened out, was it something where you had to maybe get him a little more behind the ball at address, or has he always had a little tilt, kept the ball, you know, forward? You know, was there anything there at address that it's like, hey, let's get a little more behind it at address too?
Yes, that's something we actively work on, is getting the ball a little bit more forward, because he likes to aim a little right. He likes to get the ball a little bit back, but he's done he and his caddy Alex have done a wonderful job on the road, just kind of keeping the whole team posted, like, hey, is the alignment good? Is the ball position good? I mean, those are the two biggest things we work on a daily basis. And this looks really good to me, where if it's shortened out, those players tend to aim right and kind of come over the top of it. The more you go shorten out, the more you aim right and come over it. So his alignment's good here. His ball's far enough left, and it just gives him room to swing.
Yeah. And then as he lengthens out, he's probably getting that left shoulder. Everything's kind of getting more behind it now.
Yep. Yep.
And he's kind of got this idiosyncrasy with his head, doesn't he? Where his head kind of like almost looks up a little bit through the impact.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah. Like has he always done that?
Yes, yes. He's done that a lot. This is 70% better. And I know what you mean, because when he's on top of the ball, he needs to get that club from a short position to an impact position in such a short amount of time that he needs to get away from it. And that's where the head movement comes from.
It's interesting.
So, but you know, how much he's come along where that club's going around his body on the through swing. I think, you know, it's getting more behind him on the backswing, and on the through swing, it's exiting much more left and around his body. And those are the big things we work on, is where's the ball starting? Where are we trying to start the ball? You know, can we hit a draw without getting the club way right of the target? And you know, that's the kind of the bigger picture of his golf swing. And he's done a great job doing it.
So there's two things here. One, before, because this is really fascinating, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I was looking at his old stuff, and now looking, and this looks, you've done a great job, and this looks so much better and lengthened out, and I can only imagine how much longer he's hitting it.
So much longer.
I mean, he has to be, right? Just based off of just the length of this time of the backswing and the time he has now to put some force on it. All right.
Right.
So he was over it, like, so he was kind of on top of it, and then he would, stay, and he would almost kind of like be like, from this view, he would be on top of the ball.
Yes.
And then from this view, it almost looks like he would maybe even kind of go towards the ball in the backswing.
Yes. Yes.
And then coming down, the only way he could react is he would have to kind of like lift, like make room with his head.
Sure.
And then in attempt to maybe loft the ball up in the air, his spine would have to fall back to the right a little bit.
Correct.
And so it'd be accurate to say that, okay, he's behind it, and the more he turns behind it, and the more he kind of stays away from the ball this way, then the more reactive he can be and just go get it.
Right. Correct. I mean, we just try to get him into a better position, and he understands all that. Yeah. He knows the direction we're moving in. And, I think in our situation, he's more than capable, extremely athletic, his hand-eye coordination is great. I mean, he could change his swing
amazing
more than any amateur, but we take small steps for a very long time.
See, that's so key. And that's like, here's the direction, buy into the direction, you get validation. And then the challenge is, I would imagine, then the player looks at it and says, we still got more to go though. And you're like, whoa. It's better. We're getting there. We're chipping away. You're playing well. You gotta be able to have play mode. It doesn't have to be perfect. Sure. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, and that's the challenge, right? The dialogue back and forth is, it's like, even though he's playing so much better and he's hitting it further and he's making money and he's all these things, let's go. And then you're almost, as a coach, like, man, I don't even want to show him on video right now. I don't even want to show him.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think the biggest difference between an amateur golfer and a professional golfer, the way they look at their golf game, is professional golfers, the best in the world, they push the limits with their golf ball. They'll like cut it more, hook it more, spin it more, hit one higher. Let's see who can hit it the highest out of a bunker, get over this tree. And amateurs are constantly trying to do more with their swing,
right?
Hoping the ball will do more. So, and that's like the ultimate difference. And I know that's pretty vague and difficult for a lot of amateur golfers to comprehend, because a lot of amateur golfers, high handicappers, it doesn't matter what they do, you know, it just doesn't change that much because they're not thinking about it the way you and I do.
Right. All right, man. So I've watched this video easily probably 250 times since you sent it to me. There's so many things I like about that. Like, when you watch that, what's the first thing that comes to mind with Ben, but also just an amateur, like, man, you got to do this. Just look at this.
I mean, just the softness of his hands and the strike, and, you know, he just kind of clips the ball right off the ground. He's getting under the ball nice. everything is moving. If you really watch, nothing is static. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like a lot of movement, but he definitely doesn't try to keep things quiet. You can see his weight counterbalance his body. You know, it's very flowy. His amount of wrist movement he has is quite a bit relative to most amateurs who can't chip. But when they analyze this video, and that's why I've always thought video is fascinating, is when we watch this video, you and I are analyzing the same video. So if an amateur golfer watches this video, they're looking at the same thing, yet the way they analyze and say, wow, his hands don't move. And I see a lot of freedom in his wrist, in his forearms.
Yeah, I did too.
And the release. I mean, he uses the balance really nice there. I asked him, give me like a tight lie chip where, you know, you're getting the ball up in the air. And this is what he came back to me with.
Is the same stuff apply with his body here as far as the adjustments that you made? Was he too much on top of it, even like off the tight lie pitch? This is what, 30 yards maybe, somewhere in there?
Yes. This is a little bit shorter than 30, but yes, he was much more on top of it. And to get medium height, not even high height, to hit medium height off of this type of lie before, he had to feel like he flopped it.
He had to feel like what?
Like he's hitting a flop shot.
Oh, okay.
Right now he's hitting a pitch shot. He's getting great height. That's one of the big things is, I think one of the hardest things in golf is trying to get height off of a tight lie. It's super difficult.
Yeah.
And the way he did it before, when he was more on top of it, when his swing was more on top of it, was he would try to hit this like really big cutty flop. And he was successful because he has great hands. But, and I would explain to him, I go, but Ben, your ball's physically not going high. So when you play, you know, in a major championship, we need height. You got to get the ball up in the air. That ball's not going to stop. I don't care how much spin you put on it.
Yeah, it's common to see on the medium trajectory, like the ball gets back, we get really left, you know, and on top of it. It's funny. I go back to when I was young, you know, I would play everything back in the stance, weight left, and just so far in front of it. Now, there's certainly a time to, you know, hit that little shot, but
sure.
Off that tight lie, I see
sure.
ball in the middle. He looks pretty neutral on his spine, and you can see like there's almost even before he hits it, there's almost just a little play in his feet.
Absolutely. If you watch anyone, you know, if you watch the best players in the world chip or pitch, they're far from static.
There's a little play, like shuffle.
You know how you watch long drivers, they ship forward before they go back.
Yeah.
Well, Great chippers do the same, and I think that's it's just one of those common things. Or a great free throw shooter, they're very dynamic. Yeah, that's a great motion there.
I will get real stagnant with everything, and then it's like, okay, now I got to move. You know,
yeah,
and you know, it's so subtle, but if you look close enough, you can see a little play there with the feet. The other thing I see with that is I see with his motion, I see his hands, you know, he's got a little width there. I see, you know, there's definitely a little hinge, but it's not like it's not this excessive. I think the perception, speaking to the audience here for a second on this like little wedge shot, you know, we got to get the club head working up.
Sure.
Know, quick. And it's like, no, give yourself a little width, give yourself a little width. And most of the time I found that wrist hinge is more passive than what people think. Like,
yes,
I know it's relative. Sometimes you got to encourage a little more than others, but you know, you kind of get them turning a little and like, you know, you kind of get that look right there.
Right.
You know, and then it just kind of falls and, you know, there's a little release. And I see on the other side, and the one thing I always see with Ben, man, I love this little cutoff where that left wrist just kind of gets into extension and it almost looks like the butt of the club is just riding off his pocket.
Right. And the club head keeps moving for a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that something he had to kind of get a little more of before when he was so far on top of it? He probably had to, you know, almost.
Absolutely. He used to be really stiff and, you know, everything is a little bit low, a little bit hot. And now he's just kind of gotten the other way with his wrists. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's just, there's a passing of the wrist. The left wrist goes into extension.
Yes.
The ball speed is like matched up to more of what the framework looks like.
No doubt. You know what I'm saying?
Like it's not coming out so hot that it's like, whoa.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And, you know, speaking to amateur golfers, I say, when you have a delicate shot or you have a tight lie and you're worried about, you know, blading it across the green, I said, you know, I want you to almost like walk slowly into the ball, like kind of,
and
slow your practice swing down and try to get, you want the ball to slow down. Let's like match the speed of the swing, but let's match the practice swing and let's match the routine to it. You know, I remember watching some, videos of, Seve Ballesteros back in the days when he had like a delicate chip and he would walk into the ball like as if he was afraid to scare it. He didn't want to scare the ball. He's kind of creeping in there with that light touch, you know, and that's, I think that's a great way to kind of build that appropriate speed.
Yeah. There's so much stuff here. And for those listening, we're trying to just, you know, articulate this in a way, but you really need to go to my YouTube channel and watch some of these videos too and subscribe, because we're going to be posting a lot more stuff here this spring. And this shot right here that we're talking about, like, look, you can, I find most amateurs can lob the ball better than they can hit this shot. They can hit a lob shot straight up in the air better than they can a 25 to 40 yard medium pitch off a relatively tight line.
Right. And
this one is a game changer.
Just talking about the freedom when amateur golfers look at these swings, is if they want to match it, Ben's golf swing compared to like the average 18 handicap, his swing is so much bigger. It's so much freer. And as we get nervous or tight or not sure, just like our golf swing, if we get tense, it gets shorter. And just the amount of freedom that he has is, I think, something that all amateurs need to really work on. Instead of shortening their swing and being rigid and turning their chest and body, I'm more about, the body needs to move, but the forearms and the wrists need to move too, a lot
yeah,
more.
There's a release. There's a release. There's a softness in the left wrist and the left elbow folding. It takes me back when I was teaching a lot at TPC Sawgrass. I used to help this guy by the name of Mike Goodis. And Mike played, he was a really good amateur player. And he then, when he turned 50, he decided to turn pro. And he played on PGA Tour Champions for like 10 years. And he actually won one, he's obviously a great player. But he's a thumper, man. I mean, you want to talk about Schaffling, his iron game. I mean, excellent iron player.
Yeah.
Shaft forward, ripping it through, rotating. And then he'd get to a short game, and I'm like, all right, now show me this one. And he would hit everything with Schaffling forward, leading edge, divots. And he, of course, would struggle with using the bounce, floating up in the air and when he was faced with it. And I can, man, we spent a lot of time to get him not only out of dress, but just to trust the fact that that left wrist could go into extension. It was like a squeaky wheel. Like he just would let it go. You know, everything was just boom, boom, boom. Boom, you know, just,
yeah.
And I remember one time he looked at me and he said, we're like, I don't know, we've been working for a few months. And he's like, I think I flipped it. And I was like, whoa. You flipped what? Like, he said, no, I think I did it too soon. I was like, you haven't done that too soon in your entire life.
Entire life.
Ever.
Right, you know, right, like, right.
If you showed me a video of you doing that too soon, I'd fall off my chair.
Right.
You know? But it's so funny. Like, you know, obviously a world-class player. There's guys on tour right now that struggle with that, you know, Victor, and there's guys that are trying to get the wrist in more extension.
Right.
you know, like we talked about, maybe being the backswing being a little shorter as the way to control things. I think for a lot of players, that left wrist firm is a way to control things at the bottom. And then when you kind of let them go this way, they, you know, like some of them, like, man, that feels out of control. You know, I don't want to,
right,
I don't
right.
want to blade it. I don't want to hit it fat. I don't want to do all these things. And
right, right.
And so they got to, you know, they got to learn that. And amateurs sure. can do this. I mean, you show an amateur how to hit this shot 20, 30 yards. I mean, it is a game changer. Now,
oh my God, absolutely. Yeah,
you get in the rough. Now he's in the rough and he's trying to hit it higher. So you can see the face more open. Anything else he's doing at address to throw that ball higher?
Yeah, I mean, his club face is pretty open and you could see if you look at his address, how open his club face is.
Yeah, let's look at it here.
And you can tell on his finish where that club face is pointed.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that face looking back.
Yes, yes. Quickly, very quickly, like yeah. halfway through,
yeah.
you know, that. So,
He's open at address. I'm sorry, he's open with the club face.
Yes.
But his stance appears to be pretty square.
Pretty square. His backswing's on plane. It doesn't really go that far outside. I mean, that for a short club standing that far over it, that looks pretty good to me. I mean, that's for a wedge that's, I mean, you don't need to go more inside than that, but just to be on plane. Oh, I love that right there that you stopped it. You can see yeah, where that club's face. Exiting.
Oh,
below
yeah.
his shoulder, not shut. Pretty advanced, but that's textbook. He's one of the best of the best at this shot right here, or the last two shots you showed.
Has his short game always been this good?
He's always had great touch. Now he has more shots. He can hit the ball higher, and he can spin the ball more. I mean, his short game was always good, but it was very low, hot, and spinny.
One-dimensional.
And his high shots... Yeah, his high shots really didn't get that high, and he would hit it close because he could just hit it close. He'd just bounce it through wherever he needs to. Now he can go up and over things with confidence, and he can spin the ball with confidence. So, and next year, we're just trying to do a little bit more.
Yeah. I'm going to play this one from face on. Yeah, look at that. He's putting it in his pocket.
Yes,
putting the butt of the club in his pocket coming through.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about this release. We'll finish with this here as you were talking about. So he's hitting this high lob shot and he's mm-hmm. got the face open. And if I'm aiming straight ahead to the sim and I'm looking at that face, it's like the face is looking over there in the right corner.
Sure, sure.
But what happens as a squaring mechanism is it's coming down and that club head's going to pass.
Yes, correct.
And when it passes, now the face effectively is looking more down the line.
Yes.
Right. So here I come into him and see if we can see this. Some
right.
So the face is open. Now I'm going to let it. Now, see, I'm letting the shaft out. Look at the face. Look at the
yes.
face. See how
yep.
it squares up. Now, if I had shaft lean, then the face would be open.
Right. Then you'd have to swing more left, pull across, trying to get the ball to straighten out, or shut the face. But then now you're going against everything you're talking about of a high shot.
Right. So what you're saying is like you want to see that face laid back early is you're trying to get it early, releasing, right?
Yes.
And kind of turning the corner under like that, right?
Correct.
Let me back
Absolutely.
Up here. Look at the face under my left shoulder. Can you see that?
That's exact. Yep.
And that face is looking back.
Yeah, like almost the hands have to it's all about allowing the club head to pass your hands at the right time. Too early is not good and too
right.
late is not good.
Yep.
And finding that perfect balance is a big key.
For him, is it passive?
Yes.
Is it
very. Very, like he doesn't feel, if you ask a good player when they're hitting a high shot, they go, are you trying to make are you trying to open the club face a lot? They go, no, it's just, you know, a little, but to them it's a little, to an amateur golfer, when you're looking at it, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Are you trying to really flip at it? They go, not really. It's just, that's what the shot requires.
Just passive. Right. You're just letting the club head fall and catch up. Now let's say for an amateur, they're like, yeah, great. I do that too soon.
Right. Right.
What would you do there? Would you kind of speed up the chest a little, or what would you?
No. I would slow things down and I would shorten it. Okay. So what I mean by that is I would hit a shorter shot because I'm just really big on the slow. When you take an amateur to say, hit me one 12 feet in front of you off of a pretty good lie in the rough, so it's not that hard of a shot.
Yeah.
Open the face and make a slow motion swing. They will not go they will not go too early because they can kind of see. When they start going too fast, it's already happened. Okay. When it's already happened, and then you tell them to go later, now they're going fast, might have, and they're trying to time things, but they're hitting it too far. It's, you know, if you really want to learn,
bring the framework down,
shorter, hit it softer, just, you know, like almost like a 5 to 7 o'clock, like really small, and feel that.
Yeah.
You know,
soft but slow, or shorter but slow.
Slow. I mean, hit one where you don't hit it quite to the screen almost.
Oh,
but
wow.
And see, just make sure it's appropriate. From a coaching standpoint, it's like, well, are you leaning too much? Are you trying to do it too early? Just really. Yes. Yep. And it's relative, right? Like an amateur golfer is not going to hit it that high with the face that open. It's like, okay, well, you know, you don't need to. Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I love the videos when you see that club head pass under that shoulder and laid back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just good stuff there, you know, really good stuff. And look, guys, for those listening and watching, I mean, there's different releases and there's different shots and the finesse around the short game, and these guys that throw it up in the air, medium and high, like you're seeing very, you know, you're seeing a little shuffling, but it's the club head's passing sooner than what you're seeing in the golf swing, where that club head's going to sustain that down longer, peel the divot, and then what that means in the way of the body turning, et cetera, et cetera. So I love, do you think we're past the days of open face, open stance, kind of glancing across it to some degree?
Yeah, I think that's, that's a very advanced way to hit it.
Yeah.
And it's for a different type of shot of, like, if you need to get steep out of it, out of the rough, I mean, it's great to get your shoulders open, pick the club up and stick it in the ground. I mean, that's a cross, or that's an open stance across shot. But again, that's extremely advanced. I believe that getting on plane and understanding how to release the club to get the ball up in the air is the first thing you need to learn before you learn to go open stance more across, like a Seve Ballesteros.
What's cool here is if we looked at his full swing, and I'll finish with this, is that as he took it back, like the plane of the shaft would look pretty much the same. The face probably would look a little more closed in the full swing relative to here. The plane of the shaft would look the same. The face would look more open.
Sure.
Right? And then coming through on the short game shot, you would see this club head kind of passing and turning the corner quicker.
Correct.
Where in the full swing, you might see a little more of that, right? Where
Yes, like because we're in a full swing, we're trying to drive the ball more forward. And on this shot, we're trying to hit it as high and short as possible. We're not hitting a 7-iron as high as short as possible on the range, unless you're messing around. We're trying to get it to go 180 yards.
Yeah.
You know, Ben hits a 7-iron 182 yards. So he's got a lot of speed. So we need less loft going through the ball. And then here, he's trying to hit it as high and soft as possible. So everything will be the opposite.
Yep. It's awesome. You're the man. Appreciate it. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Congrats on on the great work here. Let's hope for Oaks course place is tough. I said on Monday, these guys make these golf courses look way too easy. Let's say 66 to 67. Let's open up 67, maybe a shot back, you know, good opener heading into Friday. How about that?
Yeah, I think that'd be exciting to watch. This is going to be a fun tournament. This is before Masters week. So
are you going?
Not yet.
No, you're not going.
Not yet.
Well, maybe a win here and you will go.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
James, absolutely. Thanks so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Travis, thanks for having me on. Always fun being on the show and talking to you.
All right, man.